You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I hope that when we leave in just a few moments, you will not feel like you've wasted your time. I believe this book of Proverbs is so valuable. Tabitha, I told him last week, you were not here, I told him how that we have all these words we're looking with the teenagers. And she's encouraged me so much because the W words, like walk in the book of Proverbs, there's 31 chapters, 31 days a month, so you read one a day. Our walk, our wealth, riches, money, silver, gold, wealth. I have a dollar sign and a green little pencil mark there by all the wealth. Words and things that deal with our words. Over 200 times he deals with the mouth of, because out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. The heart's, it's already buried in there. And I have these words about women. There's good women and there's poor women listed here that you ought to avoid. I have the word wine, and all the time you see the word wine and all those W's that you see, there's so many others in that. Then I've gone to the other letters, to know and the abomination. But last week we saw in verse chapter number 1, the word instruction. I'm going to give you another word tonight we're going to look at. I hope it'll help us. We're in Proverbs 1. Last week we saw verse 2. A father is writing to his son and he says, to know wisdom. Let's read verse 2. Ready? Begin. To know wisdom. How about verse 3? To receive the, what's the word? Instruction. How about verse number 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and? My son, hear the end of a father. Throughout the book of Proverbs, he keeps talking about instruction, training, or transferring from one person to another. And it's everything in life. Men, I'm a pastor of a church, so I would hope that I want to transfer to my children the Bible, which we did. But you ought to transfer that too. But there's so many things you know that I don't know. Some of you know how to work on vehicles. Well, I'm not saying your son's going to become a mechanic, but if you have that skill, work with them. My dad worked with me. I remember he ran the Chevy dealership, the new car department for several years. My uncle ran the Ford in the same little town that we lived in, Centerville. And I can remember those. My dad and my uncle, we lived houses right next door to another. They'd drag cars in there. There's no fence between our property. They'd work on those cars. I'd work with my dad and my uncle all the time, pulling motors out. But they were teaching me something. You folks know computers. It's great if you can teach it. Maybe your child is bent toward graphic design. I'm not saying you're creating a desire that they'll be a designer, a graphic designer, but if you have that skill, train them. You know how to make desserts, ladies. Amen. Then train them biblically that you make some for the family and then you make a little bit for the pastor. Right? But and you don't have to do that. But train them how to cook. Train them how to clean. Train them how to make a bed. Train the girls how to wash. Your first time you change a diaper should not be your baby. Girls need to learn to babysit. And maybe start with mother and mother's babysitting the child and learn how to do these things. And so last week was instruction. Because today is the fifth day of the month, and next week we'll be on whatever day it is. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm already ready for it. But I want you to see chapter 5. Chapter 5. Let's read together verses 1 through 12. 1 through 12. Are you ready? Let's stay together. Let's pause the commas, semicolons, periods. Ready? Begin. My son.
Knowledge. For the lips of the strange woman, the prophets are my knowledge. And her mouth is sweet.
Bow for prayer. Father, as we approach the Word of God, the greatest book that's ever been given to man, a love letter from God Almighty, from you to us. It's an instruction manual. It comforts us. It guides us. It teaches us, instructs us. And I pray that tonight, as we see this important word to understand, may we work at learning to understand. May we listen so we can understand. Those that work in food services, for example, Lord, I'm thinking how they need to listen to the customer so they can place the order properly. So they must learn to understand. And there is a formula for understanding in the book of Proverbs. Help us to see it. Most of us do not listen. We hear words, but we don't understand because we're not listening. Help us to understand tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In this proverb, the book of Proverbs, there's 65 times, and you could maybe write that in your notes if you want, understand or understanding, one time understandeth. God wants us to understand, and this dad, this father saying, son, I want you to understand this. You preachers that are here and going to be a preacher of the gospel, I would never come to your people and say, do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand? It's like treating your people like they're ignorant. So I would not do that. But here's a father, and he's very loving and kind, saying, son, I want you to understand this. What does understand? What does it mean when I understand? Really, it's just simple. I want you to get these two words. Got it. Do you understand? Got it. Understand means to two words. What does it mean to? Got it. Got it. Do you really have it? Did you just hear a word? Do you actually have it? Here's the way we do things in our corporation. Got it. I understand. Do you actually understand? Oh, the word means I grasp it. I comprehend it. I got it. I'm ashamed to tell you this illustration, but as a Baptist preacher, basically the only thing Baptist preachers in America can watch is the Andy Griffith Show. And every preacher in America knows the Andy Griffith Show. And it's amazing, on that program, has anybody never seen the Andy Griffith program? You've never seen it? How many have seen it? You want to try it? Let me see if you know it. You help me now. You know it, you know it. I would be blasted online for doing that, I'm sure. Isn't it amazing that all the men were single? Andy was single. Barney was single. Gomer was single. Floyd was no wife around, single. The only married guy was the drunk. I rest my case. The ladies can drive you crazy. Don't say amen to that. That program came out in, I think, 58. And it was such a fun program. We watched them all so many times. That Barney Fife, we like it because he put his, every preacher ought to study him. He put his body in it. He put his eyes in it. He put his face in it. He put everything. And preaching that is just behind a pulpit, tonight I want to have you turn in your Bible. That's dull. You got to have something with it. And I hate to bring, I know somebody wrote Sunday school curriculum for Barney Fife. Now, we're not going to do that around here. We're going to stay with the Bible, Brother Ramers, if the publications, we don't need that. But there's one program that I love to watch. Sometime a preacher will send me a clip on my phone. Remember that one where Angie, I tell you this, there are some things in that history book there I learned when I was in school, and I haven't forgotten to this day. Remember that one? Well, take for example right there. Oh, the preamble? Yeah. I got that right here. It's locked in there. Oh, yeah, it's locked. He said, well, say it, Barn. Remember that? He looks. I'll get to Bible in a moment, but I'm loving Andy Griffith right now. And Andy goes, give me the first word, Angie. We. Oh, yeah. We. We. the. He tries to get him. It's the funniest thing. The. It's just crazy. You got to go home and watch it tonight. Read your Bible for a minute and then watch that program, if you will. It's wonderful. And he finally gets him through that whole nonsense. Does he think he got it? He goes, oh, yeah, when you get it up here, I got it. It's locked in there. I got it. That's what it is to understand. I got it. I got it. Here's the Father saying, son, it's so important that you get it. We're going to start in chapter 5. And just for a few moments, work our way back to chapter 1. In chapter 5, the Bible says, verse 1, let's read it together. Ready? Begin. My son, you see the three my's there? My son, my wisdom, my understanding. That last one is such a key. You must understand what your dad understands. You got to catch that. Look at it right there. You must give your ear to my understanding. What I've got. I've got it. Son, I've already got it. Now you've got to get it. You've got to. You young people are so fortunate to have a Christian school like this. It's just amazing. Our kids get jobs easy. They start at age 14 around here. And 15, and 16. And now minimum wage in our city is like almost $19 an hour, I think, 18, 19. And people starting for $21, $22 an hour flipping hamburgers. They work a couple weeks to get a dollar raise up to $23 an hour. You'd like to get a job like that, Brother Whitlow. There you go. I tell you why they get a job. They can talk. They know how to go for an interview. I've had men that interview young people, they'll say, they don't know how to talk. Do you have any skills? Do you know how to use a computer? They can't talk. I'm so grateful that our school is the entire program, reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science. I'm so thankful it's Bible, but I'm thankful it's a class on life and chapel services and how to actually go for a job interview and how to introduce yourself to people and how to speak to people and how to speak to ancient people and elderly people and how to get down on your knee and talk at the same level to a little child and how to stop for everybody in the pathway of life. And I want our kids to learn. I want them to be so proficient. We have, Lord gave us a whole bunch of more computers that God's been giving us so many good things, but we want these kids to have every tool so we can use it to prepare them for life, for the ministry, hopefully, or whatever career God has for them. Amen. You have to get the principal's wisdom. You have to get the principal's understanding, what he's thinking. You have to get the teacher's understanding. You have to get your mother and dad. They understand this. Look what the verse says. My son, telling his own boy, attend to my wisdom. Bow thine ear, you listen. And so there's the key. If I'm going to have understanding, it is my responsibility to listen. If I want understanding, it is my responsibility to do what? Would you write it down? My responsibility is to listen. I must bow my ear to my dad's understanding. Would you apply that in everything in life? A husband, if I can get this woman just to let, no. Sir, she has to understand what you're saying. Husband, your wife has to understand. And vice versa, wife, he's going to have to understand. Because women do not think like men, and men do not think like women. We're different. And thank God for that. But it's my job. It's my job to listen to that lady. That's my job. I need to understand what she's saying. That's my job. It's my job. We raising kids, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations and lectures. It's a lot of listening. Listen, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Listen to your children. Lead them in conversations that they'll talk to you. We were talking on the radio this morning, my wife and I, and she said, ask your children, not did you read your Bible today? You're not a Gestapo agent, but talk to your children. How is God speaking to you? What's God saying to you? We got to see all of our grandkids last week at the graduation, one of our grandsons from high school, and we were together with all 14 of our grandkids. I tried to make sure that I talked to everyone. What is Papa, what do we need to pray about for you? Not, do you pray? Are you reading your Bible and praying? I don't want to go there. I want to go, what do we need to do? And it's your job, if someone is in authority as a mother, as a father, as a teacher, as a principal, it's your job to listen. It's their job, coach, basketball. You have more smarts, right? You played ball first years ago, but now you have a married daughter, and my goodness, life's, are you as agile today at age, what are you, 75 or 80, Brother Hussein? What, are you as agile today as you were X amount of years ago when you were in high school? He's lying in church. Let's give the invitation right now. Let's get him down here. You know, the thing is, he's not as agile, but you know, he's a better ball player now than when he was in high school because he's got something up here. He would be better on that because he knows footwork now better than he did even in high school. He knows how to use, and he did so well, but he knows how to make moves and how to block guys out and how to move his body to get to the you know what? It is your job. He knows some things. He understands some things. It's your job, basketball players, to listen to him. Our baseball coach, well, don't listen to him. But our baseball coach, he was a great baseball player. If you listen to him, it's your job to listen. I love this text. We're talking about understanding. Understanding, two words. What is it? Understanding. What? What? Understanding is what? Got it. And we get it by one, listening. We just listen. It's my responsibility. Howdy. Gift card, and I'm cheap, so I don't go buy coffee if I have and I'm not asking for a gift. So I had one, and I knew it had 55 cents on it. Then I had another one, and I said, I went to early in the morning, I went and got a cup of coffee and a Danish. I thought I had enough on the card, and I did. And I said, I'll have a small coffee, dark roast with room for cream. They all say the same thing. Is that it? I've taught our kids in high school, you never say, is that it? You all say, and what else can we get for you? It's like telling the plan of salvation, you don't want to get saved, do you? No, you want to get saved, don't you? I had one a few months ago said, is that it? And I had a whole bunch of people, is that it? 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 No, you numbskull, that's not it. So I said this. I said, I'll have that. And I'm not necessarily a blueberry muffin, but I said, I like it. I said, I'll have that blueberry muffin. You want it warm? See if you can catch this. I'll spell it for you. N-O. No. What does that spell?
No.
So what did I just say?
No.
She turned around and went right to the microwave or whatever that thing is and put it in there. I don't know in your language, but in my language, no means no. That means I don't want it warmed. I don't know if I wasn't gonna eat it right then or what, but I just, no. You want it warm? No, thank you. Warms it up. You wanna know? She wasn't listening to my understanding. Look at the next one. Let's go to chapter 4. Let's back it up a little bit. Chapter 4. In chapter 4, it says, hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Look at verse number 5. Let's read 5 together. Ready? Begin. Get wisdom. I am to get understanding. Look at verse number 7. Wisdom's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. What is that talking about? I'm not only to listen to another's understanding, what they know that I don't know. I'm also, secondly, to learn. I am to take hold of what they're saying. I'm to place it in my possession. That's what it actually means. Get wisdom. You, son, you get the understanding. I've been in verse chapter 5, verse 1. I'm giving you my understanding. And you better bow your ear to that. But not only do you listen to me, but son, now you must learn it. Can you develop the art of learning? Learning, again, is based on listening. But can we... It's amazing in life how many times that perhaps you in business, you'll tell somebody, here's what we need done. We need this done and this done and this done. And they'll say to you, I got it. Got it. And say, tell me what I just said. And they'll tell you something totally off, not even near what you just said. Because you could tell they weren't listening. And they weren't learning what you were trying to say. You get it. Do you get it, what we're supposed to be doing around here? That's what God's word is saying. And so I listen, I learn. Go to chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5, I lean. I listen to understanding. I learn understanding. And I lean on understanding. Look what he says right here. Chapter 3, verse 5. Ready? Begin. Trust in the Lord. See, to lean not unto my own understanding. It's my job to lean not. In other words, when I lean on something, it means I depend upon it. I rely upon it. I can trust it. I can put my confidence in it. But I'm not to lean on my own understanding. It'd be good if I could lean on my dad's understanding. Yes. Chapter 5, verse 1. It'd be good if I could lean on my boss's understanding. It'd be good if I could lean on my wife or my husband's understanding. It'd be good if I could lean on my parents' understanding, what they know. So you lean, you rely. I tell you what, kids, if you can learn to rely on your dad or rely on your mother or rely on the principal or rely on your Sunday school teacher or rely on one of the pastors or rely on these godly ladies in this church, if you can say, I want to learn all I can and I'm not going to lean. Well, the way I see it, see, our principal preached to us a few months ago on this internet thing. And it was really convicting that night, but is it still? Ms. Trevor said on the radio this morning, I'll just refer back to that, that don't, if your children do have cell phones or whatever kind they have, this limited things, whatever, you can track them where they're at, whatever. But never let them take it to the room at night. Have a station where they can charge them and it's in the parents' bedroom. You gotta be kidding me. I'm 16 and you don't trust me on a phone. Listen, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Kids, it's not that we don't trust you. It's just that we don't trust you. And you know why? Because we were teenagers too. Of course, in your dad and mom's age, they were just perfect. They obeyed. They brought their Bibles to church, sat up, took notes, listened to everything. They walked in the snow to school uphill, and they walked home uphill as well. You know, and they were barefoot as well. They had no shoes. I think sometimes we paint this picture how great we were as teenagers. Glad they don't have any way to check up on us. I think of how you are so blessed people. Some of you younger couples, you can lean on some older couples. Titus 2.
Good.
Aged men. And aged, it doesn't have to be the pastor all the time. You can lean not on your own understanding. I can rely on this. I can trust it. I don't remember, but I remember about a year or two ago, I was sitting somewhere and and I sat on a chair. And I sat on the chair, I thought, this chair is not very good. And a few minutes later, the chair collapsed. And I'm not necessarily 752 pounds, but maybe I'm overweight or whatever, I don't know, but it collapsed. I can't rely on that chair. And you cannot rely on yourself. You have some major decisions to make. I just think you should sit down, sir, with your wife and say, I'm not saying let's team this thing up and 50-50 and all that. I'm just saying, gather some wisdom that she might have. Last time I referred to the radio, I said that this morning. I don't think by nature, generally, a man, generally, I don't think he generally knows how to raise kids. I might be wrong with that. I watched my parents, good parents, and they raised my sisters were so great and all of that. And I tried to be right, but they were good parents. But I think somewhere between here and here, a man doesn't always catch it. But I believe it's true. I asked my wife many times about child rearing. And she didn't sit me down and say, now, little Jack, I want to talk to you about child rearing. Here's what, she never treated me that way. You know, ladies, I believe I've been able to do that with my wife as well. I believe I could talk to her about something and say, I just think this is something you ought to consider or we ought to consider in our lives without World War III. I think a husband should be able to say, would you consider, we have something in the kitchen that's a box and you turn it on and it gets real hot. You're supposed to put food in there. You think maybe we could have a meal once a month? Yeah. Oh, don't do that. You'd be eating outside. I just think you ought to be able to talk to one another without having a fight. I think you ought to be able to talk to staff members without having 3 days of mood swings. And I really don't see that in my staff. I have such a wonderful staff. I think you ought to be able to confide in the men at prayer about some things on Saturday night and not think, oh, the church has fallen apart. That's prayer returning to God. Yep. We're out of time, so let's just go to chapter 2, please. In chapter 2, I want you to see this root of understanding. Verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to have a reverence to God. And so we're speaking about, if you want to understand, you have to understand the Lord, understand who He is. And you understand Him through wisdom. And the root relationship, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It is imperative in our conversations that we allow the Lord to guide our thoughts. And we can lean properly. And we can learn and we can listen. But I tell you this, in life, especially a husband and wife, we're not the same. You know, we don't, some nights we just take a short little drive, but we go 5 or 10 or 15 minutes many nights. In these neighborhoods around, we'll drive past your houses. We drove by the Rose Garden last week. We like to go downtown just 3 miles away here, see those old Victorian homes built in the 1800s, 1900s early. And we just see where some of our people live and talk about them and pray for them or whatever. We were driving to church here on Sunday night. We only live 3 blocks. Does your wife do this, fellas? Now, I may not be able to sleep in the house tonight when I bring this up. Now, men, don't leave me out here by myself. You helped me a lot Sunday morning when you amen when I needed you for a few moments. Brother Whitlow, I know you're going to agree with me on this. From our house to here, 3-4 blocks, she had about 4 conversations going, and I was still in the first one. And we were pulling in, and she was reading her text mails or whatever, text, whatever we call them, things. And she was reading that to me. And then she would see a car or see somebody walking, and she went to that next car. But I was still on this conversation. And we pulled in here and said, she's on this conversation. She said, but I don't see their car. I said, well, they're probably not here. She goes, who are you talking about? She was on about 14 different conversations. I'm not even explaining this right, but men, please help me, fellas. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They can bounce all over. Brother Whitlow, help me out here. You're a real man. I mean, they can be all over the map. All right. Some of you young married guys just got married. Brother Emery and Brother Robert Simmons there, and Brother Cole, where is he at? Women are great, but they're weird. Brother Martinez, does your wife ever do that jump? You don't want to get involved. Oh, no, no. He wants to sleep in the house. Oh, no, she's perfect. Just perfect. We had about four conversations going. I was still on the first one. Why do you women do that? What's in your little mind? I know you have two. You work out of both sides of your brain. Men work out of one side. But you know, the truth is that we've got to make sure that we're listening to one another and learning from one another and leaning on one another and trusting God in this thing. And we're on the same page. I got it. I can say, I got it. A Sunday school teacher said to Johnny, because they had a special couple that was visiting, Johnny's parents were visiting that day, and she said, well, Johnny, are your parents diplomats? And he says, no, they're Lutherans. Well, he didn't understand. Another Sunday school said, does your dog have pedigree? He goes, no, we cut its tail off. You don't know what that is, but dogs used to have their tails cut off. I close it. A schoolmaster many, many years ago, the schoolmaster taught the one-room schoolhouse, and the pastor of that small city came one day, and he said, the children, they can recite for you. And he began to say the things they can recite in the Ten Commandments. And the pastor said, they can recite it, but do they understand it? Pastor thought he had him. And the school teacher said to a little boy, son, the fifth commandment. And he said, you're to honor your mother and father. And he said, what does that mean? He said, well, the little boy said, well, the best way I can describe it is, yesterday, a man needed to get over the mountain over there, but he didn't know the path. And it's a hard path. The teacher said, oh, yes, there's rocks, and some are very sharp. But he wanted to get over there, so I led him across that path over that mountainside. And we got there. He said, son, your feet are bleeding. And he said, you should have worn some shoes. And he said, but I don't have any shoes. And the man gave him that day some money for some shoes. And he said, son, will you go get some shoes? He said, no, sir. But if you don't mind, I'll give this money to my mother because I think she needs shoes more than I do. And he said, the pastor said, you've taught them that they understand to honor thy father and mother. Life is so great if we'll just listen. And we'll learn. You've got so much you can learn, all of us. Our Father, I thank you for this word, understand. I got it. I just got it. Here's a dad who was so concerned. He kept using this word, 65 sons. Understand, son? Got it. But the truth is, this son never did get it. He rejected it and destroyed his life. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Young people, school is going to begin on August 28th. I want you to be I want you to have a great summer in June and July and most of August, but I want there to be something develop in your heart that said, I want to learn to lean on my understanding of my teachers, my principal, my parents, my grandparents. I am to bow my ear to my dad's understanding so I can capture it. If you're here to be saved tonight, would you walk forward and let someone show you from the Bible how you can be born again?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.